to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
We're all a bit tired of substandard vehicles at LFC. Let's hope the summer brings more German quality. It's the Day Trippers. The season may be lurching to a halt in disappointing fashion, but it's time for a long ovation for Stevie. So we'll focus on the captain for tonight's show. I'm Trev Downey and I'm joined by the man who knows players, Damo Flood, bathroom terrorism victim Paul Brennan, the amazingly, actually not an old man when you see him on video, Dave Thomas, and knob-twiddling megalomaniac, Phil Casey.
Choo-choo!
When you're ready.
Okay. Right, let's sort of wrap in our review of the Chelsea match and our preview of the Crystal Palace match to come at the weekend into one discussion here, because there is an awful lot of crossover, let's be honest, and it appears as if there'll be things in common with both games. So, Dave, as a match, the Chelsea 1-Liverpool 1 game, kind of representative of an awful lot this season, kind of nearly but not quite, some shitty stuff, some good stuff. Not enough goals, nearly men, basically.
Yeah, good when it kind of doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that when we're...
Fifth, basically.
Yeah, when we're looking to impose ourselves on the game, which we needed to do first half and, you know, take the game with a scruff of the neck, nowhere to be found, really. Lack of movement, lack of quality. Just, you know, I think Chelsea just found it all too easy. Took the lead, sat back. Okay, we scored... You know, an unusual goal to concede, to score against Chelsea, to be fair, because they're very good from set pieces. So, you know, for us to score a header from a corner, I was pretty surprised at it. And then second half, when Chelsea basically retired, we played a little bit better. But the same problem was there. We got no penetration. We got no one in the final third who's, you know, moving. You know, Lambert, you know, is like... walking through jelly. I mean, it's just no pace there, no movement there, anything like that. Mm. It was just frustrating to watch because we have good players. Mm. You know, we have promising players, good technical players, and it's frustrating to watch a game when the out ball is Ricky Lambert. You know, I mean, I just don't understand it. I didn't understand it against West Brom. I didn't understand it against Hull. Didn't understand it against Chelsea. Look, in isolation, 1-1 at Stamford Bridge, look, that's a reasonable result in a season. But it's a game we had to win. It's another game we had to win. It's another game that we didn't win.
Never looked like winning.
For me, you were like, you were looking for something from the manager or the players. And you saw the team sheet. Johnson's in the back four again. Chan shunted out to right back. We've got Gerrard sitting in front of the defence again where he's done nothing all season. Mm. Ricky Lambert up front on his own. Like, it was grim from the start. And then the game kicked off and... I mean, if you pulled someone like, you know, a fan of a different sport in and you said one of those teams has just won the league and they've had the week off training and they don't give a shit about this. The other team like needs to win this to keep alive their hope to get in the top four. They just go, well, that team in the blue is out to fucking kill people here and the team in the red doesn't know what's hit them.
I
mean, it's worth remembering because it's kind of been forgotten because we didn't win the game or Champions League is over. But like, we win that game. United suddenly got two tough games. Do you know what I mean? Suddenly they got...
It's back in the realm of Arsenal game. Slim possibility.
Yeah. Well, it's on, right? Yeah. I mean, you're putting pressure on them. But yet again, the must-win game, we don't win it. The only thing...
And it's happened so often. United have been dying for someone to fucking come and take. Like, they've needed people to fuck off away from them and let them crawl over the line to top four. And we've let them do it.
For the last 3 months, they've looked like a team that if they were put under any serious pressure...
They crack.
That's what they look.
Van Gaal interviews have been so bloody amusing after every match. And now we fucked up the opportunity to see him really melt down.
So that's the frustrating bit about the Chelsea game. It's just like... It's not a point to Chelsea is a bad result. It's a point against this Chelsea at this point of the season when we have to win. You know, that's what was frustrating.
What about that point, Phil, that Dave raised there about, Paul raised there about, you know, which team looked more up for it? And we had that marker, shall we say, laid down very early on by Fabregas. And there was no response from Liverpool in terms of aggression at all.
Standard, isn't it?
Yes,
and it's sad. But like last year there was more fightiness. It's more everything. But not only like you've got the standard for this year, which is just slow starts, people not really giving a shit about it. You know, since that United defeat, yeah, the chill's been awful, awful from manager to players. It's just awful. And then when there's a hint of getting back and putting pressure on United for the Champions League, and it goes back to not just the Chelsea game. We blew chances against West Brom and Hull as well. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. You win those two games and the conversation you're having against Chelsea is not a must win against Chelsea.
Yeah.
It's, if we don't lose here, we're still in with a shout going into the last two games. Mm. If we had it done our business. Going back to being able to see the bigger picture. This team, this collective, from management, coaches, the whole lot, have failed to grasp the bigger picture over the course of the season. When it's always been down to the next game, and I have no issue with approaching a game as just approaching games on the next game basis, right? But when you hit a brick wall or you have a setback, you need to step back, look at what you have to do over the next coming set of games and say, right, to retain any chance of achieving the goal that we set out for us, this is what we have to do. And when we approach those games, we do it and we make the right decisions. Now, you're going to get some things wrong. Everyone gets some things wrong. And I don't think there wouldn't even be any criticisms if you were getting the occasional thing wrong, like we did last season. Even in finishing second last year, it was poor decision making that resulted in us not winning the league, right? Mm-hmm. Be it from the players in the Crystal Palace going chasing goals, be it from the way we set up against Chelsea in the match against Anfield, which is down to the manager. But you come back to this and you say, the lack of passion and heart shown since the United game is symptomatic of something bigger. And it's like, I just want this season to be over to get on to the next season to see, is this something that can be taken out of the team in terms of can we just dump this mentality that's gone on, right? Mm. And get back to just, you know, trying to win, trying to attack teams, because fundamentally what we're not doing anymore is we're not going at teams. We're not going at teams from the off, where everything is reactive. There is no proactivity in our play anymore. None.
But a huge part of that is the selection, and the selection of guys who are...
Of course, of course.
And that's the thing that's the common thread.
And look, I've criticised Rodgers. I'm trying to avoid just repeating what I've said about Rodgers mm-hmm. beforehand. There is an onus as well on the players that if you don't think the manager's up to it, right? Mm. Or if you have a feeling that we're doing something wrong, you can do something about it on the pitch. Like when I look at Chan or whatever, and he steps into midfield, he's trying to drive things on, right? When I look at Coutinho, he's trying to drive things on in the match. But if the other nine players around him haven't got the same inkling or the same drive in them, you can't turn 11. And, you know, it's down to the players. The players need to also look at themselves, as much as Rodgers has to do, and say, did I do enough this season? Have I done enough over the course of the season, you know, to warrant, you know, calling myself a Liverpool player? And if you think you have, then you aren't a Liverpool player, because you haven't. You've been far from what's expected from the fans of a Liverpool player.
There's a lot of good points raised there, Damon, by Phil, but in terms of the people who were there, it's quite sad, isn't it, to see a player of such patent ability as Emre Can struggling in a position that just doesn't seem to suit him, and really not being given much help there either, when it's clear that he is struggling, because nobody wants to see that. Everyone's been absolutely impressed by this kid. I want to see him doing what he does, whether it's in central midfield or as part of a three in the back, whatever it happens to be. But Jesus, you know, he's under pressure there, isn't he? And it's horrible to watch.
Well, at the moment, like, he's playing right side of centre half, and you've got Johnson as your right back. Like, you're fucked there for starters. Like,
he's playing right back.
Well, even at right back, but he's been thrown around that back four right side, and he has never been played in the one position that he'll truly excel. Like, even when he was put in midfield, he was put in as a box to box. And if the size of the kid, he's not going to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But where you want them on the ball, you want them driving on teams. Now, just what Phil hit on there about us not attacking teams anymore, not being aggressive, front-footed, front-thinking anymore. I was only talking to somebody today about this, and we were discussing it. And when did we ever under Rodgers, bar that 5 months, where we actually have a team that actively attacked teams and went out for wins aggressively. Everything for 5 months we've done that. For the rest of his whole tenure, it's all been slow, patient,
for a good portion of those 13 matches, maybe it started to tail off a bit towards the end. There was that tempo back, and there was that high pressing, and there was that energy, you know, in this season.
Being honest, we went on a run of winning games, and I know everyone thought we were back to ourselves, and all. I didn't. In that whole run, I remember saying, you couldn't have a go up, you feel we were having a pop up, you should have back. Well, he says, first good manager comes up, fucking stagnates this team because Rodgers is just so set in a way. So first good manager finds it out. First good manager comes up against Van Gaal, makes a fucking fool of him. You know, and then everyone else reads into it then as well. And but all through that run of games, I never felt we actually played particularly well. Bare the probably the City game, which I thought were exceptional in. I don't remember us. Is there many standout performances this season that you can actually say, yeah, we bossed that game and we deserve to win it? There's not many of them. Like there's games. Okay, we won because we were just the better squad.
Yeah.
But how many games did we actually look and say, "Yeah, fucking hell, boys, that was good."
We're talking about we improved the second half, and there's obviously the element that you know you're looking at and saying the Chelsea sit off us and let us go at them, right? But so many times this season we haven't played well in the first half and we've coughed up leads and we've looked better in the second half because we've had to do exactly that. We've had to go and press back on teams. We've had to go and chase games and really push teams back and do what I go back to it when he came in. It was about the idea of this high press, this ruthless aggression, you know, pressing in zones, pressing in things. Whereas all this has been very static. So it's just all very static in terms of, and I think an awful lot of it comes. We're going back to the idea of if you have a very static front man,
yes,
right,
yeah.
An almost statue-like front man up front, right, who isn't getting around. And we had the same criticism as well when Sturridge came back from injury and didn't look fully up to it, because how many times did we sit in here and say, you know, if Sturridge wasn't scoring goals, and he still scored a few when he was there, but if he wasn't scoring goals, we'd be having a pop at him for not breaking his bollocks, getting around and pressing players. Because we know Coutinho wants to press. Sterling is very effective when he goes and pressing. And even Lallana, when he's playing against mid-table and lower-table teams, is very good at going and doing that pressing as well. You know, so it's just, Henderson is brilliant at it. Joe Allen, one of Joe Allen's best facets of his game is pressing teams. Shoving on and pressing teams and pressing teams and pressing teams.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense if we aren't playing in that manner for the good players, the really good players that we have.
But I don't think, Phil, that's what Rodgers wants overall. Like his vision, his philosophy, I don't think that's what he wants. That's what we look at and say we're good at because we've got them players that are capable of playing that way. But I actually don't think that's the way Rodgers wants us playing. Like his fourth season, I don't remember us pressing much. It was all about possession.
When we went into a counter-attacking side, which more or less leads us into what the second half of last season was like as well, and we went on that run after we signed Sturridge and Coutinho, we were playing that style of football. So every time we flipped and tried to use pace and an aggressive pressing and to cause turnovers of balls and press teams on halfway lines and really push them back, that's when we've looked a really good attacking team.
Totally agree.
And in the first half of all the seasons he's been there, and now even tailing off the last 10 games that we've been here, that pressing has dropped out of the side again. But Rodgers himself, and Dave, you remember this, in his interviews, he talked about pressing. He talked about resting with the ball in terms of when we have possession.
You mean the early ones?
His philosophy is to press. I actually think that for the second half of his first season, for most of last season, and for a bit of this season, he sets his team up to do that. But they all coincide with the same thing, which is having a fluid front three or fluid front two. You can't press if your strikers don't press because there's too much space.
Mm-hmm.
Because your midfielders then have to go and do it and it leaves too much space behind you. So I actually think it's preference. The only bit that I can't get my head around in most of this season, I thought the first half of the season was poor, but I put that down to him trying to work things out. The only thing I am being able to get my head around is how he's moved away from Sterling, Coutinho, Lallana as that front three and he's put Lambert and Balotelli back in. That's the only decision. All the other decisions I can kind of logically countenance in my head, but that one I can't, because he does like to press. So if you're playing Lambert or Balotelli, they don't press. So I don't understand. That's the only bit I don't get.
Well, what about the little vision of the future we had there towards the end of that match then, for good or for bad, where we saw Jerome Sinclair on and we saw Sterling there?
That is the best thing Rodgers has done in about 4 months.
Yeah, and he did give them a chunk of time.
Yeah, and they were... and. Look, they weren't brilliant. They didn't change the game. They're playing against the best defence in the league, right? So you can't put three teenagers on who've never played together and expect them to turn it around. But they should all start against Palace. I mean, Lallana and Lambert shouldn't start against Palace. I wouldn't be devastated if Lallana started, but I mean, Lambert certainly shouldn't start. Sinclair should start.
I wouldn't have minded if Sinclair started against Chelsea.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen something. When I saw Lambert up front on his own,
The Lambert decision. It just sucks everything out of that side when you're playing Lambert. Because all the logic falls away after that.
Like, we talk about even that the performance level went up in the second half, which it did. But in the first half, there were actually more opportunities for us to put the ball in behind Chelsea's defence, and Lambert was just absolutely hopeless. And then the second half, you're thinking, like, you're playing for your Liverpool career here. At least do something that you're able to here. Hold the ball up and, like, link in with the kind of players who were zipping around you. And he'd, like, there was just nothing from him. So, like, I wouldn't play him again. I'd definitely put Sinclair in. Even though, like, I think Sinclair was fairly starved of service. Like, we have this thing at the moment where, you know, going from the middle into the final third, we're really quick. The likes of Coutinho and Sterling, like, they have teams on the back foot. It's that final ball in. Like, we never really got much into Sinclair, which I thought was a big problem. Yeah. I think it has been a factor. Even that big run that we went on towards the kind of second third of the season.
Yeah,
that was all built on kind of getting turned at teams and the likes of Sterling and Coutinho kind of running at the defence.
But it's also supporting pace from the flanks. I was trying to write a piece about Coutinho, and I was looking at how much Moreno was involved in some of the great stuff that he's done this year. Yeah. Moreno's been involved in the build-up with him, little 1-2s, passes around the corner and stuff like that. And if we had a similar player on the other flank as well, then you start seeing what you're talking about there, and you start seeing these guys becoming more effective, in the interplay.
But nobody's beaten a man. I mean... You know, we have played, they all want, I think I said this about a month ago when I was talking about, we have too many number 10s. We've got too many players that want to play in the middle of the park and be the person that passes the ball to the striker. Yeah. Whereas you only need one of those players, maybe two. The likes of, so if it's Lallana, Coutinho's got to break forward and Sterling's got to break forward, and then Sinclair and Ibel have all got to be in there. If it's Coutinho, then Lallana's got to get into the box, but they don't do that. They stand 4 yards away from each other going, well, give me the ball now, and then they pass it sideways. And when you're playing against a team like Chelsea, who I said last week, there's no way we're scoring against them because they're the best defence in the league. They're just going to sit back, block defence. It's so hard then to put an 18-year-old on the pitch and say, we're not going to give you anything. You might get the ball once in the next 40 minutes, but hey, good luck.
The one thing I did notice about the Chelsea game is that when we did get into the box a couple of times, especially in the second half, when the three lads were up top, Sterling, Ivan and Sinclair, our quality of final ball in the box is still not good enough. So Ibe ghosted past three or four players, but didn't have the ability to look up and pull it back to the player that was free. Sterling went in.
Crosses up high as well.
Yeah, Sterling tempted in Trevet, and a bit no, he went past about three or four, and instead of if he takes a little look up, Coutinho had actually drifted to the penalty spot and was unmarked. He squares that thing, and Coutinho has a clear shot on goal at this stage because two players had gone to him to close him down. And a couple of times we did that. And going back to your point, our crosses. You know, there's that element of Moyes United with our crosses at the moment where they're floaty fucking Stuart Downing crosses.
Literally,
they're not.
What
they're
is
not.
The point?
You know, you're just. Now, I know they're trying to float it into Jellyman's head, but like they were just.
Jellyman.
It just reminded so much of when Kenny was there and we had Downing, and Downing used to just float these floaty things in, and Carroll would be just wandering around the back hoping that eventually something would come to his head.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like that despondency that when you were looking at us attacking, you never felt once when it went out that we're going to threaten from the flanks.
Horrible bottler's cross that he used to do.
Yeah, but the good things we were doing was when we did get past Chelsea, and it was the first time in a long time I've remembered in games against Chelsea that we were getting behind the likes of Ivanovic, we were getting behind Luis Felipe or Felipe Luis or whatever his name is on the other side, right? And then when we got there, the next pass was never the right pass.
You know, well, that's because they're two kids.
Yeah,
that's why they should have been playing the last five games. You know what I mean? And they should have had more game time this season instead of Lambert. You know, this is the argument: is that these are the future of the club. You know, play Jordan Ibe right back, and, you know, move Emerjan into the middle and get Johnson out of there. Like, you know, why are we playing players that are not going to be here next year?
Because while Hope survived, he went to his go-to man. That's what he's done. That's that we know this.
I mean, we're going to come out to Palace,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let's do that.
But the team sheet for Palace should be the team that finished the game against Chelsea, right?
Okay, okay. And one other thing we should learn from that, Floody, then, my take on this from the Chelsea, the only thing I learned from it is Stevie's going to play, right? So...
Except Stevie.
Don't have, so don't have Stevie taking corners. Have Stevie in the box where he should have been for the last 15 freaking years and not taking the corners because he mostly doesn't beat the first man. Because look at him, he's our best header of a ball.
Yeah. Top simple fact. This season as well.
Yeah. 12 goals, isn't it, I think, at this stage. Yeah, so, like that, I mean, you know, it's hard to believe. For Palace, would you agree with Dave? You'd like to see that?
Without a doubt.
See the kids start.
Without a doubt. And I'd even go as far as saying, now he's going to play and he deserves to play and he deserves to be fucking waved off. But you need to go as far as saying, fucking Gerrard go as well. You know, I need to throw in all the kids. And I said it during the week to us, put them all in. All right, this game is going to be an absolute circus. Because it's going to be a circus. Like Smoke Dolphin, as Brian calls him, fucking, what's your man's, Pardew. He's going to be standing on the sideline there, big smiley head in him. Everyone's backslapping Gerrard.
He's going to think that the game is about him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Everything's about Al.
It's going to be a big send off. Like, your man playing his last game in front of the cop, Lambert, you know. He's going to... he's going to start crying, you know. He's going to have a tear in his eye the whole game. Johnson's going to be running around like the fucking idiot he's always been.
He's not. He'll just be trotting around.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. But that's what I mean. Like, I would prefer to see all them young lads put in now. Yeah. And like, okay, put Stevie in and let him get the adulation he fully deserves. You know, he's player of a generation. You know, and but the rest of them couldn't give a shit. Never seen again. That's brutal, honestly, but they don't deserve a fucking send-off. Like, what have they done for us? Seriously, we've done nothing but give out about Johnson for the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm.
What's Lambert done? Fuck all. You know, where the future's there. Like, put the kids in.
It's right.
Yeah.
But look, Gerrard, everyone in the world is partially sentimental, and there's no way that he shouldn't start the game, right? Now, I'm talking for everyone else in the world, not myself, right? So, if you're playing him, you just say, Stevie, you do whatever the fuck you want.
Just do
whatever you want, right? You're not playing in any position. You go wherever you want. The only place you can't play on the pitch today is in goal. Now, if you want to do that in the second half, we'll sort that for you as well, right? And we'll play Mignolet up front. Because, look, let's be honest about it, he can't be any worse, right?
Than fucking Lampard.
Yeah.
Fucking great,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you just say, you go, enjoy yourself, fucking do whatever you want to do. You want to run around and try score 27 goals, you do that, right? We're not, this is, you know, it's your day, and it is his day, ultimately, this match, right? Yeah. Because there's nothing left. There's no Champions League to go for.
No.
Let's be straight about it. There's no Champions League to go
and
for.
And we can't blow fifth unless I'm totally mistaken.
It'd be tough, but you could.
Gotta give it a good go.
We can give it a good go. But, you know, just go and enjoy it. Do whatever you want to do. Enjoy your last competitive game here and fucking whatever, right? Then around that, you say,
yeah,
okay.
So what do you want to do around that?
Around that, you put Chan into midfield, you put Henderson into midfield.
Yes.
Right? You say, listen, lads, yous are going to be in midfield next season. You're playing there. So Emery, fucking you two just cover whatever spaces that Stevie's going to leave as he does whatever he does. You cover it, right? You start Sinclair up front.
Yeah.
You say, this is what I'm doing. You know, I don't have storage, so I'm starting Sinclair up front, and I play Oib at right back or right wing back, whatever the fuck you want to do. If you want to play Chan in a tree at the back and give Jordan Williams a go in with Henderson alongside him, right? You know what I mean? You do this. You play Markovic as a wing back. You play fucking Oib as a wing back. You play Sterling then up to front, or play Sterling in a two with Sinclair.
Yeah.
And you play Coutinho off them, and you just tell Gerrard to go and do whatever he wants on the pitch. And that way, at least the players that are on the pitch are going to be, you know, there next season. They're going to feel like this is the team. This is going to go around. You know, if you play Moreno, you play
it's fucking great to see all
no,
of them.
No, this
it genuinely would be great.
But that's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see Jones on the bench. I don't want to see Glenson anywhere near the squad. I don't even want them in the stadium. I don't want them at Melwood this week. I don't want to see him ever again in Liverpool gear, right? Colo's heading off, Colo's been great crack. maybe give him 5 minutes at the end to give us a, you know, to say goodbye to
Cole
everyone. Right?
On the bench,
I don't want to see Lampard in the squad. I don't want to see him near the pitch. I don't want to see him any, I don't even see him getting VIP passes to the game. I don't want him anywhere near it, right? Like, seriously, I do not want
this
these
family turned away.
Sorry, everyone out of Liverpool.
I don't want to see players who are not going to be part of this squad or should not be part of this team next season in the squad. This should be
but
about
it's really only those two and Gerrard who are going to be.
Like Balotelli, and whether you like Balotelli or don't like Balotelli, he's not going to be part of the squad next season. He wasn't there this week. Don't have him there, right? Just put the players that are going to be there and say to yourself, right, lads, get used to this because this is what you're going to be part of next season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think not as vehemently in terms of not allowing certain players into the stadium, but
the stadium.
I mean, at the very least, Sinclair has to start up front.
And
Ibe or Markovic, I'd be happy with either. And Mourinho should start a fullback and Johnson shouldn't get a game. At the very least, if he plays Lambert, I genuinely won't watch it. I don't think I'll watch it. I just don't see the point. What's the point? What am I going to see on Saturday that's going to be new?
Yeah.
Apart from Steven Gerrard's last game, which obviously I'll watch it, and to Damo's point, you know, of course he has to play, he should start. The entire fucking stadium should clap in for 90 minutes. You know, that's how good a player he's been, like, you know.
And sing a song for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Because at least that will be a song sang for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But a mad noisy fucking ground.
But playing Lambert and playing Johnson,
I'll do my best for you.
I just don't get it. And playing Mijan in the middle, I agree. If he is Gerrard's heir apparent, if he is the player that they've identified, which is all the rumour coming out of the club, he is going to play in midfield next year, then play him in midfield. And let's actually see what he's all about. Because all I've seen so far is that he's a pretty good third centre-back. He's not a very good right-back. And people tell me he's a phenomenal midfielder. Well, I haven't seen it, so let's see it. Yeah.
So just the way I look at it there, oh my God, we're talking about who should start and who shouldn't. What my feeling on it is, this shouldn't be a game that closes a book on certain players. This should be a writing of a new chapter for Liverpool.
That's fucking beautiful.
If it's all the same as she, can we just go now? Because that's fucking brilliant.
That's the most positive thing I've ever said.
About anything.
But that's it. Let's just close the book on Gerrard and say thank you, clap on the back, away with you.
And put a whole load of nippers around him.
Trev, one for you.
Go on.
Because we never get to ask Trev a question. Well, come here. Do you want Rodgers to take him off so he can get the adulation of the crowd at 79 minutes?
Little adulation. Of course he'll be taken off.
What the fuck was that about? Seriously, what the fuck was that?
Well, listen. There's a lot of confusion about this. He fucked up royally with what he said, but you know he's just in Brendan mode and he's talking shit.
I don't think that's actually why he took him off.
No, it's not why he took him off.
But don't say that.
He took him off. If he's going to take him off for that reason, he'll take him off with a minute to go.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
don't say it.
No, it's a nonsense thing to say because he got caught in the fucking rabbits, like a rabbit in the headlights again in front of the cameras, like he always does. So he'll come off with a minute to go.
Fair play to Gerrard in his interview.
Spot on.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant. Fair play. And do you know what, right?
Did you hear Pat Nevin last night?
Fuck Pat Nevin. Remember, Andy wants to get him into the room.
Tell
us. I missed it. Upset me.
He reckons that the only reason Gerrard came out and said that was because he clapped the fans as he left the pitch. And he reckons the only reason Gerrard came out and said what he said afterwards in the immediate aftermath was he went in, checked his Twitter, saw he was getting a load of abuse from Liverpool fans and decided to change his mind. I mean, for the love of.
He's not on Twitter, is he, Gerrard?
Well, he's not going to be on Twitter immediately when he goes in after a match to check
maybe
his
he has
carriage
login.
that's what Enrique's been doing. he checks Twitter for all the lads as they come off. Oh, lads, you're getting fucking slaughtered.
Stevie's not logging the Twitter.
At the logout.
But seriously, Gerrard's always great in his interviews, though. He's a very...
You know all these pointless interviews that goes on, and Rodgers is king of the pointless interview, right? Like, you know, I prefer to hear that, which is honesty. At least it's honest.
Yeah,
I can get on board with that.
Pure guff.
Do you know what I mean? And fair play to Gerrard coming out and saying what he did, because let's be honest, this is a share of fans who like were booing for the Hillsborough thing in the semi final.
Fans in the world.
That spent the time holding up laminated.
Oh, fucking God!
Laminated
God
slip hazard. Fucking what?
It's the
Imagine somebody organised that in the Chelsea fan base, because it wasn't like there was just one fellow with
Do you know the lad with the iPad? Oh. He was looking down his nose at them. The lad with the iPad thought they were shit fans. That's just basically how bad
they sang more about Gerrard Slip than the fact that they just won the fucking league. Can you imagine?
If we won the league, would you ever game? If we won the league, would you ever sing about another player?
You wouldn't know who Liverpool were playing.
I wouldn't give a fuck.
Most of them were City fans last year. You sing about fucking winning the league every year.
I am delighted for Gerrard. I think between that interview, the last couple of interviews he's done, getting a couple of goals, I am delighted for him.
Yeah, I'm glad he's going out.
Look, let's finish this up because it's
we do a Palace.
Yeah, predictions for Palace, Paul.
3-1, we'll win.
Very nice, very nice.
Demo. 2-0.
2-0 to us.
Yeah, 3-0. No pressure. We'll turn on the style now.
Bloody hell, I think Alan Pardew might put it up to us. I think it'll be tight. I think it could be a draw, Phil.
We have your man, Dwight Gayle, coming to Anfield trying to put on a show, and Yannick Bolasie.
You'll notice I didn't go for the clean sheet.
Bolasie might be thinking to himself, if they're in for Benteke and Milner and Ings, there's a chance for me here.
Yep.
Look, we have to win. It's Gerrard's last game, and let's be honest about it. It'd be great to see him score and go off with a scoring goal. Yeah. No, genuinely, like it would be a great way for him to cap it off, and like a blunderbuss from 35 yards. You know, an old fashioned, coming to him on a half volley and just bang.
Or if not, just let's hope he gets sent off at 80 minutes, like for smacking Pardew.
For taking out Pardew. So hopefully it's Gerrard 2, Palace 0.
Alan on a stretcher at the end. Lovely stuff. Okay.
I am Lou Schwarre. You are listening to Trippers Chat.
With Trev.
Yeah, it's definitely the ball sweat.
rough as fuck.
Okay, let's have a look at some of your Trippers Chats. There are a lot of them, so we're going to go around in quick fire fashion. And Dave, you're up first, and there's a question from Greg Hills. And Greg wants to know, what happened to the age policy that we're supposed to have when they bought Lallana?
I'd say that it was after Rodgers came second in the league, I would imagine that the committee laxed a little bit in terms of giving the manager what he wanted, and I would imagine Lallana was a pick of the manager, and he wanted someone that would come straight into his first team, and that's what happened. I actually think Lallana's had a okay season. Don't think he's been a disaster, but I think there's an argument we paid too much for him in terms of the impact he had in the first season. So I don't imagine we'll make that kind of sign in again this season.
But you wouldn't have him as a go of the escape variety, you think it made sense? Okay. Flood of Europe next is a question from Karina, and she wants to know, what's the difference between Hodgson's talking and Brendan's talking, apart from maybe the voice and the pronunciation?
Hodgson was a lot more defeatist, the fucker. He really was. He was completely defeatist. Where Rodgers is the opposite end of the fucking spectrum, where he's completely ridiculously positive. He's like Dave, ridiculously positive.
No, he's like Dave used to be.
I know, Hodgson. I mean, not just meet in the middle. it is. So
that was Rafa.
One's ridiculously positive, one's ridiculously negative.
Can we not just open a new book?
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful again.
Damon was happy with that. Look at the number.
Beautiful piece.
Paul, you're up next. Simon Brundish wants to know, would you want Gerrard back on loan in January?
God, no. Jesus fucking Christ, no.
Now, Phil, you're up next. John Darcy wants to know, if Rodgers does go at the end of the season, do you think Gerrard will regret leaving? Would that be contrary to what we've been told?
I don't think it's Rodgers that's forcing him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I think if any decent manager is in there, Gerrard's not playing. And I think he would have played less this year with any other manager than Rodgers.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
So like, I don't think it has anything. Like, if Rodgers is given the heave-ho, I think Gerrard probably would have played less.
Mm.
Because if we go out and sign a bigger name, inverted commas, bigger name manager, or he's going to be rootless. And I mean, there will be the top managers are not sentimental. And there's a layer of sentimentality in Rodgers' thinking. And, you know, I would go back 2 seasons if we had had somebody else in. Say Van Gaal had taken over instead of Rodgers. I don't think Gerrard would have been there come the end of last season. I think he would have been off at the end of last season.
Okay, fair enough.
When you see what Van Gaal did with Van Persie as well. Yeah. Like I thought Rooney was gone.
He's captain, in the Dutch team. Like, Ben, no, you're not good enough, Ben.
Yeah, I thought Rooney was gone from United. I thought Van Persie was going to walk into the team every week. Van Gaal's having none of them, so.
Very good. Next one up, Dave, you're back on again. This is from George Berman. George wonders, why has Joe Allen, who was our best player versus Hull, according to George, not gotten on the pitch again since?
He's injured, isn't he? Allen.
That would be the short answer.
Yeah, so that's my answer.
Even if he's not, that's my answer.
Well, how can you have a best player against Hull that wasn't Mignolet?
Did Allen didn't play against Hull?
I don't even know. Did any of our team play against Hull?
Didn't Jared and Henson play in the field against Hull?
I don't know.
That was the one they boycotted. Wasn't it?
Sorry, George.
The players boycotted,
Hull was just a nightmare for us. But, I mean, I think Joe Allen's not in a starting 11. He's not good enough to be in a starting 11. He's not going to be in a starting 11 next season. I think he's a good alternate to come in and play in certain games in the Cup, in Europa League. I think he's a good squad player. No problem with him being there. But if he's in your starting 11, it means we haven't strengthened enough in the midfield this summer.
Fair play. Next one up. Flood of Europe next. Next one is from Nate. Nate's wondering, in your opinion... No, this is someone's going to get ahead. But in your opinion, how can Johnson keep getting his start? How long before Lallana is dropped? Are Sinclair and Ojo our future? An awful lot of stuff we've touched on. You can pick any of them things to talk about if you wish.
Johnson's getting selected just for his wages. Lallana fucking should be dropped out of an airplane. Sinclair, he's a kid. I don't want to start selecting too much. I don't think he's a long term player at Liverpool. I've said it to the day to you, so I honestly don't think he is. I don't think he's got the movement of a top striker. Give him a few games though, and see how he goes on. Ojo, I think he's a tidy player and he's got a future.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Day one knows players.
How is that bus?
Paul, you're up next. This is from Forever LFC, and he's wondering, will Ian Eyre be at the helm? I presume he means in this position where he's in next year. What about all the reports that he's out in the summer? And if so, what new candidate would you like to see in situ there?
I don't know. Like, I've next to no interest in, kind of fucking whoever's behind the scenes nearly, I've been on Twitter slagging the fact that the committee gets lionized more than the players these days.
Like,
people getting committee in the back of their Liverpool jersey. I've no idea really. I suppose it depends, like, how much they were. There was rumors earlier in the season that FSG weren't happy with how the recruitment went, and I suppose it just depends on how much they see whether they think he's fucking up deals like Salah. Yeah. Like we saw what happened with Salah, Conor Pedianca, and all. So I have no idea whether he is, and I'm not too.
I'm very little interested.
Yeah, I'm not too interested in who's in the background, really, to be honest.
Okay, so next one up is from Luke. Phil, this is for you. What about the possibility that we've often heard float of a director of football being brought in? And if so, what sort of overhaul would you like to see in the backroom staff? He's suggested some people there, Monchi, Klopp, and all the rest of it. What would you like to see?
Look, I want to see a sporting director to come in, right? After that, then, it's up to the sporting director to put the structure he wants in place. Be it the manager, be it the coaches, the whole lot. That's his responsibility. Once you put the sporting director in place, it stops being a manager, it becomes the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
In any way, shape or form. Because he will be fully responsible then for the direction and the style. Maybe not the formations and the tactics, because that's down to the head coach, but he will be responsible for the direction and the style of the club into the future. Now, with sporting directors, the things that fans have to get their heads around, they are there not for 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. When you put a sporting director in place, you're investing in 10 years. You're investing in 15 years. You look at most of it, and this is all the vogue, and this is the, people are starting to look at it now. You look at the likes of Zorka at Dortmund. He's been there since the 90s. He's gone through them going and winning the Champions League, then falling off to oblivion.
So it's a massive appointment then, if you do that.
Like, you are putting in somebody to put a vision in place for 10 to 20 years. Mm. And that's what you need to be looking at when you're appointing a sporting director. Someone that's going to be embedded in the club and wants to be there long term as well. And once he's in there, then it's his vision that needs to be enacted across the club. Right? So you think about that. You put that in place, then it's going to be a big step back for Rodgers in terms of what it is, because Rodgers was very set in that he wants to put in structure in place and all for the club, that even when he goes, will still be there in the whole lot. The sporting director puts his structure in place.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's what I want. because if Brendan was to go, the amount of the coaching staff and all the other staff that would likely go with him means you have a big overhaul in terms of who goes. Whereas if you look at, say, Dortmund and you look at Tuchel coming in, the upheaval is going to be fairly minimal in terms of replacing Klopp with a different manager that's going to go in there. So, you know, it's a huge appointment if you go to make it. And I think it's the right appointment. Because even looking at City, they have Begiristein there. He is going to, that he's putting the vision in place for
he's
City.
There for a bit.
If Pellegrini goes, and also the changing of a coach or the changing of a manager becomes less an issue once you have a sporting director in place. Because as I said, it's a long-term vision of it is. The thing is then, what type of candidate and who do you want in place at the club? Do you go out for somebody who has experience and the whole lot, or do you bring somebody in that's embedded in the clubs, in the way of the club and the history and everything of the club and the vision of the way we sell Liverpool? And remember, the vision that Rodgers has put out there is the one that's always been Liverpool passing, pressing, attacking football, that type of thing, right? And that's why most fans were delighted to hear that when he came in and seeing him, you know, as being in terms of a visionary. So if you're going to put somebody in, they have to come in. They can't come in with the idea of, say, being a Pulis or an Allardyce in terms of that we're going to play hoofball for the next 20 years, because straight away the fans are going to be on their back. So it's a big appointment, and it's one that needs to be made, in my view, and it's also one that there needs to be proper thinking about it. And it's not one that you can just suddenly appoint in June and hope that this is going to go right and it's going to sort everything out over the summer. This is a long-term thing.
Yep. What happens if you get it wrong in the show?
That's a worry.
But that's the worry.
Hmm.
Like sporting directors do get replaced, but they don't get replaced after 6 months unless you're Comley. Do you know what I mean? But even then, there's an argument that says that was the wrong thing to do, to go after him. It was in reality, you know, Dalglish should have been replaced first, and you should be giving Comley a longer term to do what he was meant to do. And I'm not trying to change history in terms of what was going on. And there was obviously other issues that were going on in the background and the whole lot that around that. But if you're going to do it, you have to stick with it, and you can't be constantly throwing the bad water out. But if you're sold into Rodgers, if FSG believe in Rodgers, then this summer should be about Rodgers and not about a committee and not about a director of football, and it should be him and his vision, whether we like it as fans or not. Like the idea of, and it goes back to the idea of targets and transfers and all this, and it's like, oh, you know, what's going on with signing, blah, 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 blah. Listen, we can't influence the signings that are going to happen at the club. So we have to just analyse them as they happen, as opposed to, you can't change anything. Those targets have already been identified, 90% of them. And if they haven't, then there's a serious issue in terms of what's going on in terms of recruitment at the club.
Fair enough. Dave, I'm going to wrap two in together for you. One from Philip Murray and one from Sean. Philip asks, who are we going to sign that can take a pen and a direct free kick? And he says, I love Hendo as much as the next man, but come on. And Sean asks, is Henderson technically good enough to be our captain, or is that irrelevant because he has got leadership qualities? So it's a Hendo-based question, I guess. And do you trust him with an awful lot of the responsibilities that Jared has had in the season to come?
See, I'd flip his question around a little bit. I think he's got the technical ability to be our captain. It's whether he's got the leadership skills to be the captain is actually, I think, a bigger question. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's technically good enough to start in our midfield. Therefore, you know, he's a good enough player. If you're a captain to play every week, he's going to play every week. I think that what's been difficult to gauge, I think, since this season in particular, is how he's responded when Gerrard's on the pitch. And I think that's where he's probably struggled a little bit more. Obviously, that gets taken away next season. Look, I got no problem with Henderson being captain. I think it's a bit of continuity. I think it makes sense. I think he's clearly a good influence on the dressing room, clearly trusted by the manager. But you don't know who we're going to buy, you know? So if we go and buy, and this ain't going to happen, obviously, but, you know, if you go and buy Tevez or you go and buy Pogba, you know what I mean? You go and buy one of these players and suddenly... They're starting in your side, there's an argument that they're winners, and you say, okay, well, actually, clean sweep, we're going to make this guy captain. Final point is, we don't know who's going to be the manager. I mean, for now, it looks like it's going to be Brendan Rodgers. It might well be, because I think there's a lot of conversations to happen before that's confirmed. So maybe we might have a new manager, who might decide that someone else needs to be captain.
Okay, fair enough. Next one, Damo from Oba Boss, and he's wondering, how much transfer kitty do you think we need to get into the top four next season? So I suppose that you can wrap that into who you think should be the targets, or how much they'll cost.
Oh, Jesus.
How long have we got?
Keep it short.
6 yards.
We need to spend about 60, 70 million, I'm being honest.
Yep.
And I don't think it's quantity, I think it's more quality. I think the additional three top quality players to that side makes a huge difference.
Okay.
I think the addition of 7 or 8 mid-table players to the squad makes fucking no difference to us whatsoever, which what we done last year was. So we went with quantity over quality last year. I think myself and Steve-O had said it all last summer. It's all about the quality. And I think this summer it should be all about quality. And we've got to stop buying fucking players to sit on the bench. Got to just start buying players that are going to make a difference here starting 11. That's my opinion. So I think if we're going to spend, I think we need to spend 60 or 70 million to make us at least competitive to be knocking on the door for the top four again. Because let's face it, the other four teams are going to spend big in the summer.
Sound. Paul, next one up is from Colin. He mentions a couple of players you can agree or disagree. He says, apart from Coutinho, Sacco and Chan and Sterling, how many of our current squad are good enough for us to push on next year, basically?
I'd say Henderson's good enough to start. I do think after that, you're struggling. A lot of it is just potential and kind of filler. I know Dave likes Lallana.
Miggs, I guess, yes.
Mignolet is a kind of strange one because he's had a brilliant turnaround in form. It's one of the only positives of the season where you can look and say that's something someone in our team has done that took character. Like, I know Brendan's buzzword character that he uses, like, when we show no character whatsoever.
Outstanding.
Yeah, outstanding. that is one of the kind of good things of the season, Mignolet's turnaround. But I still think he's doing it because it was last chance saloon and he had to. And like, I just feel like the wheels could come off it soon because he's goalkeeping in a way that he's not used to. It's not his kind of default setting. So if he has a couple of bad games, it could go to shit. So, but yeah, I definitely think I'd keep Mignolet. I'd prioritise other positions over him because of how well he's playing anyway.
Okay.
I don't think overall we've about 14, 15 players that are good enough.
You need
2021. Going back to Damo's point, you sign 3 or 4 quality ones. You've got then you can pick 11 from 19 players there, and then you're bringing two of your good kids through, the likes of Sinclair or whoever it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Skirtle, but he's a good centre back option to have. I'm not saying he should be your go to centre back.
But you would re-up his contract, wouldn't you? Now, well, considering where he is and
depending on what the options are, you know what I mean. Like, it all goes back to if you're going to let him go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your replacement has to be identified now. Now the fact is that every time we've come around to a summer transfer window, we've talked about getting a new right centre back in, and inevitably we've signed another left centre back, and we were linked at the weekend with another left centre back. So, like, I don't know. Maybe we're going to play a new formation, which only has players on the left hand side.
I wouldn't spend any money on a single person who isn't someone who scores goals until we have got one striker.
But we don't.
That's the problem we've left ourselves. So, we spent so much money.
We've only, even if we got 60 million, which I'd be surprised if we do. But even if we did have 60 million. 30 million of that is going to be a striker, right? We have to buy a right back because we don't have one on the books when Johnson goes. So that's going to be, say,
well, Mankeo, like, this is the thing. Like, if you're saying who's good enough in the squad, Mankeo is good enough. Moreno is good enough. Sturridge is good enough. He hasn't mentioned Sturridge there. And the stick that Sturridge has gotten this year because he's been out injured for most of the season.
Oh, listen, I'm hearing stuff on Twitter about Sturridge that it's just like
when he's fit. He's fucking brilliant. Go back to the previous season. He's brilliant when he's fit. The problem is getting him fit. Now, that's a different issue altogether, but he's good enough, right? We've said Sacco. Mignolet is good enough to be in your squad. I'm not saying that if you got a chance to sign a top-class goalkeeper, you wouldn't, right? You've got then Ibe is good enough. Markovic will be good enough, right? So we're already up a good few players that are there. You've got Flanagan, who's a good enough as a squad option.
Emerson's good enough.
Alan is good enough as a squad player.
Yeah, but we don't have an awful lot of players who are just nailed on.
No. That's what I'm saying. That where we need to add in this, it's not that you go out and sign, you need to sign 10 players. You need to sign 4 or 5 top quality players for your first team. And then all those players who are forced into the positions that we're in at the moment become good squad options, and you have 19, 20 players of a squad, and that's what you need to get top four.
Yeah, 4 starters, you know, 2 forwards, 1 in midfield, and a right back, as in starters, and then whatever else you pick up for free.
Okay, right. Look, there's a tremendous amount of repetition in the ones that are left, so apologies if we didn't get to your question, but primarily because it's almost identical to one we've had already.
There is one, Phil, I'm going to throw to you to finish off with, because it crosses over at the topic we did earlier on the video section that people won't be listening to now in the pod. And it's basically this from Kerry.
You should
Kerry
just go
Jones.
And watch it on YouTube,
shouldn't you? Yeah. you should watch it on YouTube. Kerry says, look, realistically, will we only attract top players this summer if Rodgers is sacked? And another question then, from Nick Galekas. Is it the club or the coach which is the reason for attracting or not attracting big name players like we've seen with Sanchez and Willian and so on? Because we had this debate about the Europa League, so just curious to get your take on it.
I think if you have a big name coach, you have it's easier to sell to big name players because they can believe that you're going to achieve Champions League and get into the Champions League easier. Like if you have, again, if Ancelotti took over in the morning time, I think it would be easier for him to go out and sign top nine players because they want to play for Carlo Ancelotti. If, you know, Guardiola took over tomorrow, do you think we'd have an issue in going out and signing whoever we wanted? Straight up, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then, we would.
What?
We'd have an issue with going and signing whoever we wanted.
Well, what I'm saying is if he was going after a player, if Guardiola was there and going after a player, right, and operating within our financial constraints, there's a bigger pull to play for Pep Guardiola than there is for Brendan Rodgers. And players want to play for him.
I think it's a factor. I don't think it's anywhere near as big a factor as the money we would pay the player or whether we are in the Champions League or look like getting in the Champions League.
Well, I just think that the calibre of player that you can sign with a top manager. Now, the problem is attracting a top manager. You can't just say, well, let's go and appoint a top manager. They're not necessarily will want to come because going back, that then you bring in the issue around the club because he'll want to know how much money has he got to spend. Is he going to be able to compete with City, Chelsea and the whole lot?
And a controversial show, we could maybe wait to see will Brendan actually become a top manager. I know that hurts you inside, but
I've never sat here and said, you know, Rodgers is out, you know, that's the only way. That's my way. I'm not saying that there's a valid argument. Myself and Dave have had this discussion many times over the course of the season. I recognise there's a valid argument that you let him continue in the role if you have a long-term vision for the club. But again, there's too many variables in the club at the moment, and you need to start changing the variables.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that the whole Rodgers debate, for me, and we're all on the same spectrum. Something's got to change, right? So. You can't look at the season we've had and say, well, nothing needs to change in the management of the club. That either needs to be at an executive level, it needs to be at a recruitment level, or it needs to be at a football management level. But I don't think anyone can look at all those guys, you know, the 10 guys that do all of those jobs and say, well, they've all done a great job. You know, nobody can be improved on that team. So either the chief executive needs to be better, or the people at the executive level, or the recruitment, which is a sporting director or the committee or whatever we want to call it, or the manager, which could be a sporting director or the manager, all of that should be under review. Mm-hmm. So it is an all Rodgers' fault, and he doesn't deserve to be sacked. I don't agree with that. But he does deserve to be part of that bigger review. And things like, could another manager attract better players or identify better players or get more out of better players? They're all legitimate
part of that
questions to ask.
Yeah. Okay, right, let's move away from the sublime football stuff to more ridiculous. And we can always rely on Nick for a question here. Paul, Nick is wondering, for Steven Gerrard's last home game, what would you organise for a halftime show if you had an unlimited budget? He suggests maybe sending Glenn Johnson into space, which I thought was a good one. What would you do as a tribute to the captain if you had an unlimited budget at halftime in Anfield?
Let him shoot Demba Ba. Like literally with a rifle.
For a whole season of that song.
Just shoot Demba Ba.
You could, like, you know, ceremonially, like there could be a big volcano put in the pitch or something, and we could kind of tip Glenn Johnson into it. You know, like John Terry, where John Terry takes his jersey off but keeps the armband on. That's what Stevie can do, stroll up topless, and Glenn's like, you know, hogtied and on a little plank over a volcano. He just tips him in. He could even do the little slip and headbutt him in. Something to do with Glenn Johnson, definitely, though. Something along those lines.
Who was your man that did the opening ceremony to the London Olympics?
Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get him in.
Danny Boyle in.
To do a 15-minute segment going through. You know the way he did, like, from the start
the
of England
of
right
English,
the way through
yeah,
to
yeah.
the present day, and do Gerrard's career, and it'd be like dancing and stuff like all mad things.
Yeah.
And it'll be Istanbul, there would be like the FA Cup final.
It would basically be Istanbul, the FA Cup final, and then Gerrard crying for the rest of the
time. I'd like to see what you do with Hodgson and
let
stuff
Ricky
like that.
Just, yeah, let Ricky
no,
host
no, no,
it, yeah.
All the things like Torres. Well, and with dance.
They could get actors.
With dance. And, yeah, medium with dance.
And Lambert can play Gerrard as an old man.
Celebration of music. And then you ever get the Spice Girls in. Because they were the Spice Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, he wasn't the Spice Boys. But just bring it in anyway. And have a bus going around, and it'd be like when they came back with the Champions League final, and you have a bus going around the pitch. So, like, just creative.
And there's no reason why you still couldn't have a volcano, let's be honest.
That could be the end of it.
Horrible dark weather effects for like Hodgson's rain. Like, they could make it rain, like, you know, like,
the sprinklers to put them on the roof and just make it rain.
No, forget about that. We're thinking bigger than this. Like, you get those planes that drop stuff. Like, let's not spare any expense. Make it a lightning rod on Johnson's so there's thunder and lightning for Hodgson's rain, and Johnson's getting fucking electric.
Hodgson's rain. That's the section in it.
Oh look, beautiful.
This is brilliant. That's, like, you could think about it. You could have loads of shit that goes on in there.
Right, now,
just not in the club, we can contact it.
I think if they get on to Danny Boyle now, he'd be well up for it.
If Ian,
I know there's only a couple of days to go, but wouldn't it be? I tell you what, right? It would be the biggest thing in football. That would be shown all over the world.
Yeah, he's going to be able to pull in a few Hollywood films.
In answer to an earlier question, if Ian Eyre pulls this off, he can keep his fucking job.
Ian Eyre needs to get on the phone to Danny Boyle to have the career of Steven Gerrard on the pitch at half time in a sort of London Olympic style.
Make it rain.
And Johnson needs to get hurt.
Right, so we should probably skip the next question. This is from Sweets. Sweets says, some say fish tanks, some say planting flowers, but what is the best activity or prop or hobby to help you relax? Because he says this season has fucked him up entirely. What can you suggest to poor Sweets there to help him relax?
What were his suggestions?
Fish tanks, you know, looking at fish.
Looking at fish.
Planting flowers and doing a bit of gardening.
He's fucking
like
retired. How old is he?
I guess
21. His name says Sea Sweets 21, so he must be 21.
He's a mellow kind of a chap.
Fish tanks?
At 21 you relax by drinking and wanking.
Seriously. Maybe he's Peter Ridsdale. Do you remember he had a big fish tank?
Oh yeah. Fish maybe tank. That's what floats his boat.
Fish tanks,
but
though.
Maybe not focus on what he's suggesting and come up with a suggestion for the man.
Planting flowers in a fish tank.
This question isn't going well.
I think Damo kind of nailed it on the head, to be honest with you.
Furious
drunken masturbation.
The most point, that's not relaxation. That's stress.
That is the least.
You're just doing it wrong, Phil.
If you've had a drink, and had a wank, and you're still stressed, you got a problem.
Next one's from Graham. Graham is wondering, does Andre Mariner wear a fake tan?
We never talked about Andre Mariner.
Based on the evidence of the weekend, what do you think?
It's a nice link to fish tanks as well.
Mariner. It is, yeah. Good man. You're always thinking. So, what do you think?
I didn't know that.
There was a hint of Cafe Solo off Mulroy.
Could be just jaundice.
I heard his name's Andrew Mariner, and he took the W off.
Just, yeah, exactly.
That is like, I don't know.
Sam Tropez, that's a fake tan, isn't it?
Yeah. Would you ever consider wearing fake tan, anyone in the room here? Just all I'm asking, because I want to know.
I did once get, there's a L'Oreal.
Be careful. This is
men's moisturiser, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know there's a tint in it.
Oh, right, okay.
You know it very quickly because the smell of fake tan is one of those things that you can smell from a mile off, right? And as soon as you put that tint on, there's a fucking tint of fake. Like, you're walking around all day, you're going, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, if you don't do it properly, obviously you have the line.
Oh, Jesus,
I think the smell of fake tan is a bit of an aphrodisiac. I don't know, it's from my younger days.
I think you're going
out and, like, you know, if you're smelling fake tan, you're doing alright, like, do you know what I mean?
Swansea on a Saturday night. Jesus. Fake tan central in the UK.
Swimming in it on Wine Street.
Like. Right, lads, Matt Haynes wants to know, who is your day trippers manager of the year? Is it John Carver, Nigel Pearson, or Tim Sherwood? It's got to be Sherwood, doesn't it?
Yeah. The mixture of kind of cringeworthy bollocks and, like, actually doing well with Aston Villa, that seals it. Yeah, Nigel Pearson's just a cunt. Like, there's nothing, there's no redeeming feature about him. Like, John Carver looks like an arsehole, but he came out with the, I'm, you know, 8 games in the bounce losing and I'm the best coach in the Premier League. Like, that's brilliant.
Kieran says, is there anything more relaxing than a sit down wee? And there's a kind of a counterpoint to it. Is there anything more tiring than a stand up or squatting poo?
What the fuck? I know you told me I'm not allowed to have a go. What the fuck is that question?
Kieran got you.
Who does a sit down wee if you're a man?
I suppose it happens. Does it happen ever? Can it happen? There must be some context. Well, Kieran just asked a question. It must happen at some point.
And he finds that relaxing.
But you don't have to stand.
I've done a hungover. I wouldn't say it's relaxing. It's sort of necessary. Relaxing, like. But the stand up poo is.
Hang on a minute. He's had a stand up poo and a sit down pee.
Well, actually,
often enough to assign an emotion to it.
Maybe our man with the fish tank and thinks you're sort of trying to sit down wee.
Yeah, that's
what he's. Ah, I see where you're going with that. That's magnificent. Okay, another one then. It's from Sam McGuire. Sam says, if Earth was going to be destroyed and we had to move into space, what would your last meal on Earth be? A lot of feedback to this question online, people saying this will tell a lot about you.
A sausage dinner. I don't know what the fuck a sausage dinner is. In my world, a sausage dinner is something completely different.
So how many people are surviving here now? How many people are surviving?
Does that have a bearing on how much you're going to eat or what you're
going to
eat?
It's your last meal on Earth. You could be going off into space and be grand. So you could be eating space food for a while.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, is everything going with you? Like all the animals, everything going with you?
No, this isn't like Noah's space ark.
Can I clarify?
What would your last Earth meal be?
So that's what's your favourite meal? Basically, right?
Yes, Dave.
I was just wondering whether parameters like as in you couldn't if you you know you couldn't
you're
have
going to
game.
Be eating space food which is Nor Pastoria and say,
Nor Pastoria what the fuck is Nor
Pastoria
and
cream rice
that's your favourite meal
pot noodles you're going to be eating fucking pot noodles okay. So what do you want to eat for your last meal?
Pizza
now that was an awful lot of fucking preamble for pizza.
Well, I wanted to know, would there be pizza on a fucking spaceship? Like, you know what I mean?
Maybe there was. What would you
like? Maybe it's only animals that you can't have. Would
very hard to get a woodburner into the spaceship. It's one of those
which
sort of things.
Well, the pizza, yeah.
There's no chimney. Spaceship from Prometheus, which is like the size of a cathedral. So.
No chimneys, though.
Any other shouts about any?
Salt and chilli chicken from Mr. Lamb's in Clendalkin Village.
Nice.
Would be mine.
That's delightfully specific.
Yeah, it doesn't look nice, but.
Tastes nice, doesn't it?
It's all right,
gets the job done. And Rob Dave's pizza as well.
While I was complaining about something up there. Like,
you can't ask me a question like that.
Floody, I've got one last question to finish off with. And
mine was pappardelle al ragu from a restaurant in
Carignano. Wasn't that a burrito, no?
Huh?
Yeah, burrito. Because you've been having a burrito for the last 4 hours.
I'll
probably be able to get a burrito in the spaceship anyway. Because that's the type of food that you'd eat in space.
No, you're having fucking ambrosia cream rice.
Yeah. Burritos.
Yeah.
How do you get burritos
in space? Seriously.
You die in your own spacesuit.
What? There's obviously gravity in the spaceship. Come on. We're going into space. This isn't like, you're not going in on the fucking spaceship.
What was the real thing you said there?
It was pappardelle al ragu. It was in a restaurant.
Fucking hipster.
Fucking hipster. I had it 8 years ago.
You don't have time to go to that restaurant, wherever it is.
Boiled pasta with a Tuscan ragu sauce that's made with wild boar, so it's lovely.
Is this like not over in Italy?
Yep.
The spaceship's gone from Ireland.
He didn't say there was restrictions to getting it in.
He's only going to Clondalkin. Come on, narrow your horizons.
The spaceship isn't going from fucking Clondalkin.
I'm not letting people from Clondalkin in. Sorry, mate.
The spaceship's dropping people off in Clondalkin.
Unless you're Mr. Lamb.
They opened the little toilet.
you might get, what's this salt and pepper chicken on?
Salt and chilli chicken.
Yeah, that could be space food.
Shut the
face. Floody, Martin Steinbeck wants to know, did you ever bet in Liverpool matches? And did you ever go, we're getting beat here before a game?
Every game? I've said right. I'm more likely betting fucking everything at this stage. I'm one of them people like during the week obviously.
Who's addicted to gambling, so
who's addicted to gambling?
Yeah, so putting that to the side. I'll be one of these people that always say, yeah, yeah, we're going to beat this. And then 10 minutes before a kick, I'll go, oh, bollocks, boys, we're getting better here. You know, yeah, I don't know what it is.
You, I have, yeah, only one game the entire season I have heard you say, we'll win this game.
And we lost.
And that was United. And you said, we're going to bat the knees. Every other game you go, we're losing this, lads. No way.
I was reading most of the time, so.
Yeah, you were. I think you said it all the last season as well.
Are you actually betting Liverpool? I would never bet on Liverpool.
Three times. And they lost every time.
Yeah.
I used to have a jinx that if I bet on us to win, we'd lose. So I used to bet on the opposite team and the draw. And right. I did it all last season. I was thinking to myself, I've sorted this.
Then I remember you doing that, yeah.
Tried it this season, didn't work.
A couple of years ago, I texted Phil during the day, I gave him three teams. I said, betting them three teams tonight. And he texted me back later on. And I, it was Atletico Madrid.
It was Bilbao. You didn't bet him to Bilbao results.
Yeah, I bet Atletico Madrid instead of Bilbao. I told him to bet Bilbao. He texted me, fucking nice one, 300 quid. I said, no, I lost. He said, look at your text again. I said, oh, bollocks. You won about 200 or 300 that night,
didn't it? I did, yeah.
All right, let's just leave it there. Okay, let's finish with some admin, and we begin as per usual with a mention for Astro Park, who host our weekly nonsense here. You can check them out at astropark.ie. You should get on to We Are Liverpool. The last one of the season is available on Saturday outside the ground in Home Baked as well, I believe, and online at weareliverpoolfanzine.com for only £1.50. I want to mention a couple of events. First of all, the Brendan Devaney charity match and gala dinner on the Sunday 31st of May from 2 p.m. in Mullingar Athletic in Gainstown. It will feature the likes of Steve Staunton, Phil Babb, Alan Kennedy and Paul McGrath. Tickets are €10 for adults, €3 for children. And they're available at the Greville Arms reception or on 044-934-8563. And there's one other event I want to mention as well, and that is a Five Times event. It's an evening with Robbie Fowler, and I can't finish it now because Phil's got the...
What?
I was trying to say that I didn't write it.
Oh,
yeah. Why was I...
Just continue on. Jesus Christ.
You just took it away from me. Okay. With apologies for Phil there, because he's not.
Oh, it's my fault.
Yeah, you're not the best when it comes to this stuff. It is a five times event, an evening with Robbie Fowler. It's on in the Puckon Bar in Galway on the 19th of June. Tickets are €35. There'll be raffles, auctions, photos, chance to meet Robbie on the night. And you can pre-register for your tickets with www.fivetimes.co/Galway. Your day trippers tonight were Paul Brennan, Dave Thomas, Phil Casey and myself, Trev Downey.
Okay.
And I might be prone to saying I'm not answering that shit. So
oh yeah, can we not do that thing that you've started doing again, you aggressive fucker?
I'm not fucking answering that
fucking
question.
That fucking listener says, what?
If it's a stupid question, I'm saying it, right? And I don't give a fuck.
I'm fucking fully
I don't give a fuck. If it's a stupid question, if one more person asks me, would I rather lick Sam Allardyce's balls or fucking give Hodgson a blowjob, I'm going to fucking go mad. Yeah,
but you've still never answered that question.
We don't know where you stand.
Which one is it? Which one is it?
I've answered it like fucking 5 times.
I don't remember it.
I don't remember it. Right, okay.
I think it's good to go.
Damo wants to join in. Look, he's getting straight out the periscope. Hang on a second, I'm getting in here.
Showing a load of suggestions.
Right, let's wrap it up. Done. Good luck.
Good luck. We have to turn it off, though. There's no point just waving.
Can you all turn your periscope off now, please?
Just feel continue looking at the camera when the feed is finished. Yeah.
Get like 6.5 minutes of, you know, everything's grand before, you know, reality comes crashing back in and life's horrible and all again. Mix that in with about 8 cans of Bavaria or something. He's laughing, yeah. Bin the fish tank as well. That's no good.
Jeez.
He's like, he goes,
three starters, isn't it?
Yeah, he goes, obviously Chelsea finished third and we finished second. And what's happened then is they've brought in 3 nailed-on starters and we've lost 3 in Suarez. And I was like, yeah. And Sturridge is like, yeah. I was like, where's he going? Where's number 3?
Flanagan.
And young John Flanagan, who was massive for his last season. I was like, you know, at the TV going, oh!